Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
He is Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram and, of course, brownzone.com, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Scotty, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Sounds like Indy just put some heat on your golf game. You're not going to be able to hustle anybody anymore.
Scott, you can play.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's rough. I can play a little bit. I need a putt better, I'll tell you that.
Don't we all, though? Don't we all?
Yeah. If it stops raining, my plan is to go practice some putting a little bit.
We're hoping for summer to start sometime in August.
It's a big if, so yeah.
This has been longest spring in the history of springs, so according to Jeff, too, right? Thank you. Let's start with Nick Chubb. Your thoughts on him officially not wearing a Browns jersey?
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was coming, but I think it's the reality is a little jarring. I'm certain it is to a lot of the fans who were holding out hope that somehow Nick would come back. I get it. He's been one of the best players in this franchise since it returned. The fan favorite. Everybody loved him inside the organization, outside the organization. He said many times he wanted to finish his career in Cleveland. So I get why fans are probably upset about it, even though they knew it was coming. I think it makes sense because of where the Browns are in their roster construction. Not knowing how good Nick is going to be, you know, another year removed from that awful knee injury. He wasn't the same player last year. And I think it made it tough. You know, the Browns talked to Nick about coming back. They weren't able to agree on a deal before the draft, and then they take two running backs. I think it's just tough when I'm sure they couldn't commit to him as the number one back. And if you've been the guy in this organization for so long and been so good, I think that's probably tough to hear and why you would want to go somewhere else.
Quinshon Judkins looks like a Nick Chubb, I won't say clone, but a clear Nick Chubb replacement. And then when they added Dylan Sampson, it's like, oh boy, you guys are doubling down. He's not as big of a guy, but it's clear that, okay, the minute that happened, Scott, Nick was gone. I wonder how much Nick has left after two devastating knee injuries, two big recoveries. I mean, he's a physical freak, but I wonder what he has left. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I have the same question, Jeff. My thought is not a ton, and that's strictly based on what I saw last year and knowing that it was the second major reconstruction of that knee, starting with the one while he was at the University of Georgia. And obviously he was able to rebound from that and come back and be a high second round pick and then have the career that he's had to this point. And I don't want to be just the prisoner of the moment and base it all on what I saw last year, but I just think that's realistic to say, okay, I saw a guy average, 3.1 yards a carry or 3.3 yards a carry last year. And then just not have the same explosion, not have the same breakaway ability that he always had. Now, I also have seen the videos this offseason of him squatting a bunch of weight and him doing like standing jumps over hurdles. that look like that should lead to explosion. So I have not ruled out a resurgence for Nick Chubb. I just think it's more unlikely than likely.
At what point do you think they said, all right, we're going to move on? Do you think it's when he broke his foot, or do you think it was like, okay, they got to the draft this year and they're like, all right, we got one. If we end up taking a second running back, then now it's time to turn the page. But at what point do you think the Browns said, yeah, we need to turn the page?
Well, I think it was gradual, because right after the season, Andrew Berry was non-committal for the first time. And that was a big departure from where he was a year earlier, when you didn't know if Nick Chubb was going to be able to come back. And he said, we want to bring him back. That's, you know, that's not the last image of Nick in a Browns uniform we want to see, or, you know, to paraphrase what Andrew Berry said. But in January of this year, it was, yeah, he was non-committal about a return. And then every time we talked to Andrew Berry after that, it felt more and more unlikely. So I think they were having discussions with Nick's people the entire time that they were going to let him test for agency. Yeah, obviously he didn't get any nibbles, or at least any offers early in free agency. And then they revisited it before the draft and talked money and were not able to agree on a deal. And then when they drafted two running backs, that's like, puts one nail in the coffin of him returning. And then Jerome Ford says, I'll take a pay cut for guaranteed money to come back. Mm. And then, okay, that's it, right? Like, I think those were the steps along the way. But all along, I think Andrew Berry knew that things had changed and they weren't going to be able to guarantee Nick anything. They're worried about money, right? The salary cap is a real issue for this team this offseason. Can they save money by drafting two rookies, by having Jerome take this pay cut? But whatever you're going to have to pay Nick Chubb was probably not in their budget, or whatever Nick Chubb wanted probably wasn't in their budget. And you can argue if that should matter with a guy that's as decorated as Nick Chubb and has done as much as he has. And I think you can point a finger toward the Deshaun Watson contract debacle as, okay, one of the fallouts is you can't pay Nick Chubb to come back, or you choose not to pay Nick Chubb to come back. But I think all those things factored into, okay, he's not coming back. But I don't think the decision was made until the draft and then the Ford contract restructure.
Scott Petrak joining us, covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read all of his coverage of mandatory minicamp that starts tomorrow at brownzone.com. With OTAs, everybody looked at the four quarterbacks and said, okay, don't read too much into anything that's going on. It's voluntary OTAs. It's mandatory minicamp. Should we read anything into what's going on at mandatory minicamp when it comes up to the four quarterbacks?
I would say just slightly more than a week ago. Like, the mandatory minicamp is just really an extension of the OTAs. Now, where I think there's more importance to it is, this is the last time you're going to see all four quarterbacks on the field together before training camp. So the coaches and the organization, they're going to have to set a rotation. They're going to set a depth chart, at least in their heads. It won't be public, heading into training camp. I don't think you can just go into training camp with this wide open four-man race and let's see what happens. That feels a little unrealistic to me. And
a little bulky, sure, doesn't it? It feels bulky.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm sure we'll ask Kevin Stefanski about it this week, and I'm not as sure we'll get any really great answer about that. But I think they realize they need to know sooner rather than later. They need to be careful about the reps, more careful about the reps once you get into training camp. You got to prepare for the regular season. So I do think coming out of these three mini camp practices will affect who gets what reps when the team comes back in late July.
I'll ask the question. How do you think they're looking at it by ranking? Like, it was, they go into this, do you think they're looking at it as veteran team and then rookie teams? You know what I'm saying? How they kind of, yep, how they've been? Because it sounds to me that's the way he's been breaking it up, but you're there, you get a better read of the room.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair, Andy. You know, Dylan Gabriel got more work with the quote-unquote first-team offense in the practice we watched last week. Shedeur Sanders did not. So it's not just strict veterans versus rookies. I have shifted my thought a little bit, where I kind of thought one of the rookies could be the second guy in the rotation, and maybe, you know, that the backup in their in kind of the Browns' ideal scenario. And now I've shifted where I think it's Kenny Pickett, because for all the reasons we've talked about, why the Browns would love for him to win the job. Mm-hmm. Then I think it's Joe Flacco because of all the experience and the juggernaut of the opening part of the schedule. And if you want to go try to compete with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson and Jared Goff and all the quarterbacks and teams the Browns have to face early, there's a really good chance Joe Flacco is the best guy to do that for you. Gives you the best opportunity to win. And then he got the two rookies. And I think there's a gap between Gabriel and Sanders for everything we talked about. He was drafted first, or, you know, drafted ahead of Sanders 50 picks earlier. They liked him, obviously more than Sanders when they drafted him. So I kind of see it like that. Now, a million things can change, and they could trade one of the veterans, and then the rookies get bumped up the depth chart. But right now it feels to me like it's the two veterans competing for the starting job, and then the rookies are at least a step behind.
Kind of interesting, isn't it? Jim Schwartz, in his comments last week, said he expects Myles Garrett to have maybe the best season of his career. Is that Jim's way of kind of lighting a fire under a guy who had asked to be traded and then got a huge contract extension, if he thinks he needs to light any kind of a fire?
Yeah, I don't know if it's lighting the fire or just putting some pressure on Myles Garrett. I don't think there's any denying that that's what Jim Schwartz did. But he also explained that Garrett actually put the pressure on himself. So Jim Schwartz is not running from any of that, and that's not who he is. He's too confident, too sure of himself. But, you know, he said, yeah, I think Myles is going to have the best year of his career. And then he goes, he has to. And then he quickly went into referencing everything that went on in this offseason with Myles Garrett, all the drama, right? The trade request was crazy public. The things he said about it, this team's not ready to win a Super Bowl or compete for a Super Bowl. And then signing the richest contract in the history of the NFL for a defensive player. So you put all that in the pile, and it's like, well, he better have the best year of his career. And I think Jim Schwartz is just kind of stating what everyone believes. I bet Myles thinks the same thing, that, yeah, he probably put even a brighter spotlight on himself, that he added pressure to go out and live up to this contract, which he's done in the past. We've seen Myles has been, you know, the best defensive player in the league for years now. So, but I certainly thought it was interesting to hear Jim say that. And then we'll see how Myles reacts to that when he talks this week. I'm expecting him to talk this week, and then how he does moving forward. But I don't think that's too much to ask for a guy who signed a 4-year, $160 million contract extension.
How does it amp up that now? I'm like, what do you think the goal is for Mini compared to, you know, non-mandatory OTA? How does it ramp up?
Well, yeah, there's two things. It's one, it's you should have everybody on the field except the injured guys. So I assume that means Myles Garrett and David Njoku and Deontay Johnson and Shelby Harris. So you get guys that that I haven't seen in the 2 weeks of OTAs. You get everybody out there. So in Joel Bitonio and Jack Conklin, you know, Joel's been working out in the facility, just hasn't been practicing. So you get a better look at, okay, you know, these guys could, this could be the starting offense and starting defense for the, you know, for the most part. And then you have the very real timeline of, these are the last practices before training camp. So there's some urgency there, and it's, let's head into the off season on the right note. Let's set a tone for training camp. There's a lot of talk about increasing toughness and building physical and mental calluses because the Browns weren't as tough as they needed to be last year, physically or mentally. So I think all of that is the backdrop for these three practices. Now, you know, does each play in this practice matter? Not really. But I think it's the tone of it. And, okay, we're going to come back in 6 weeks, and we better be able to hit the ground running because we have to prepare for a season coming off 3-14 and our first 5, 6, 7, whatever it is on the schedule are going to be really hard. And we have to do a better job preparing to start the season better than they did in 2024.
Scott, as always, we appreciate you. And we are reading you Chronicle Telegram. We are reading you at BronZone.com. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Dolls.
Hit him straight. Scott Petrak, nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. All right, so we just had Scott Petrek on from the Chronicle-Telegram and, of course, brownzone.com. And, Scott, you know, we got into this conversation about, you know, the quarterback situation. And, you know, when you look at what, you know, he was saying about kind of ranking the four guys, right? You're ranking these four guys and you're asking yourself, okay, truly, which one of these quarterbacks gives me the opportunity to win? And then he also talked about juggling back and forth. And so this is what he had to say.
I think it's Joe Flacco because of all the experience and the juggernaut of the opening part of the schedule. And if you want to go try to compete with Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson and Jared Goff and all the quarterbacks and teams the Browns have to face early, there's a really good chance Joe Flacco is the best guy to do that for you. It gives you the best opportunity to win. And then he got the two rookies. And I think there's a gap between Gabriel and Sanders.
All right, so when you heard that, Jeff, what'd you think?
I agreed with him. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Scott laid that out as in Pickett's the starter, and then if your backup is Flacco, not one of the rookies.
Yes.
That's the way I took it.
I took it as you walk into the regular season, if you really want to win, isn't Joe Flacco the guy you want to start? That was the way I took it.
All right. Well, if you take it that way, I don't agree with that.
Okay. I don't know. Well, you know, we'll know more this week, let's be honest, because, you know, even as...
We should know more this
was
week.
Was it yeah. Mary Kay that said she thought when they're done with mini camp, they should have a good feeling for who's probably QB1, QB2?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're going to tell anybody. And Scott, no. Scott said the same thing.
Yeah.
Scott said you walk out of mini camp, and in their mind, they have it all laid out in their mind as to how they're going to go into training camp and who's going to get the most reps. You're not going to split reps four ways in training camp. That's not happening.
Sounds like they want to try to do that, though, doesn't it?
Good luck to them.
At least that's what they're saying.
Good luck.
I look at it the same way. Like,
if you're walking
into the regular season and you're saying to yourself, who are, like, today, if you had to hand the football to one of those four guys on the roster, and I want to win today, I'm handing the ball to Joe Flacco. And if he goes out there and he doesn't look great in the first half, then I'm switching. Then I got to figure it out. The problem is you're not going to have all four quarterbacks to be able to do that week one. One of those guys is getting voted off the island. They're going to have to. There's no way they're keeping four. They're not.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a lot of dead weight when you're trying to get players to make plays during a game, including special teams.
I absolutely, in theory, in normal practice, I would agree completely with that. I would agree completely. Except it's not normal to have four quarterbacks right now. It's not normal to take two in the same draft. It's not normal to go into the offseason and not have any idea who your first string quarterback is. At least not publicly. So I wouldn't put anything past them, Andy, as they're trying to find a quarterback. I just wouldn't.
Now, there's another issue that I kind of think we're going to get into where all four guys could still be on the roster. That'd be if one of them. And I don't wish this on any of them, but all it takes is a little bit of an injury to put somebody on the IR to start the season, right?
That is correct.
So, I mean, you already know Watson's going to be there.
It won't be Flacco. If Joe got injured, they wouldn't stash him for the year. They would give him his release.
But he probably wouldn't be able to play. If he got injured, he probably wouldn't be able to play for a couple weeks anyway. So
injury settlement, like that.
What's the difference in putting him on the IR for 4 weeks in case you need him?
Well, for 4 weeks, it's one thing. I thought you meant like season-ending IR.
No, not season. Never. No, not seizing it. No, just to be able to pull him off after 4 weeks, which you can only do for a couple players. But I feel the same way. When he said that, I'm like, tell me if you feel the same way. 216-474-0092. They go into minicamp this week. You don't know who your quarterback is. You don't. I don't care what anyone tells me. The only person that knows probably for sure is Kevin and Andrew. And if they were in a game, it'd be up to Kevin.
They might not know either, Andy. They might have, this is who we think our guy is.
Okay.
But I'd bet you they're not 100% locked in on anybody. And I would say that for any role in the quarterback group.
I just think all four are different.
Yeah.
I think all four quarterbacks bring something.
Which is okay.
Different to the table.
It's okay, isn't it? I mean, it's almost better. If you had three or the same guy, why bother? They're looking for something. And there's an opportunity for each one of those guys to jump up and win a role. Now, what role is it? That's to be determined as well. But there's an opportunity for all of them. I mean, it doesn't matter which one. If one of the guys looks really good, he should start. If that's Dylan Gabriel, he should be the starter. If it's Shedeur Sanders, he should be the starter. I would think it's going to be Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco. My hope is it's Kenny Pickett. But what I really want more than anything, it's not an individual. Please, somebody. Show you look pretty good and you're better than everybody else.
I know we haven't really broached the subject, but when you look at the four quarterbacks, Jeff, who's the most tradable? Who's the most tradable of those four quarterbacks?
What are you looking for?
I need a wide receiver, but I'm probably going to get a draft pick out of it. So that's probably what you're looking at. That's how trades work in the NFL.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to give you, depending on what happens in the preseason. I don't think anybody's going to give you anything more than a third for Dylan Gabriel, if that. I don't think anybody's going to give you anything more than a fifth for Shedeur Sanders. Everybody had a chance to take each one of those guys. Either one.
I think it depends on injury again, too.
Flacco sat around forever. Anybody could assign Joe. You just said it. If somebody gets a quarterback who's key hurt to them, let's just say some team drafted a quarterback around the same time frame as, Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders, and they're looking for a young guy to develop, and Gabriel or Sanders was their next guy. Yeah, maybe they'd trade for him. But the Browns drafted him. They want to see him. I wouldn't even worry about a trade right now. Those guys have a chance to be the starter here.
I'm wondering if they look at these guys, at one of those guys, or just a quarterback that they currently have on the roster without a name attached to it as equity. Is that another way to look at it?
You could almost say they bought a penny stock when they drafted those guys. We've gone over how third and fifth round picks usually don't hit at the quarterback position. So those are, they're hoping to get lucky. And they might. I sure hope so.
I was kind of just perusing over the weekend. And
we've heard that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the where I read it at. It just, it might have been like Channel 3 or something. But I was just bringing Kirk Cousins back into the mix as a quarterback.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm just saying, I heard it. I mean, I was reading it over this weekend. And, there are plenty of, I just kind of Googled it real quick to see how many other, I mean, there are outlets out there that are saying, hey, maybe he's not out of the mix on this thing.
Because we all know that the solution to uncertainty is to add more people.
Well, Sports Illustrated said, is this Shedeur Sanders' impact on this? So, you just kind of look at it. Does Kirk Cousins still do anything for you? Would it do anything for you? And are they really?
He screams at cameras really well.
So now you'd be totally out. If they figured out a way to bring him in, you'd be totally out?
See, I love how I say one thing.
I'm asking you.
And then you draw a conclusion for me.
Would you be totally out? That's all.
Oh.
I just don't know how they would do it. I don't know how.
Let me throw this one at you.
Okay.
This isn't going to happen. If Atlanta called today, and money-wise, don't ask me. I'm not going to figure out the money.
Mm-hmm.
If Atlanta called today and said, hey, you know what? This Cousins thing isn't going to work here. We'll take Flacco and Shedeur Sanders for Kirk Cousins.
Flacco and Shedeur for Kirk Cousins.
And whatever you have to do to make it work. I'd do that right now.
Flacco and Shedeur.
So would you.
I would.
So would you.
Look but at you trying to tell me what I think before I even say it.
But that's not going to happen. I went basking on you.
Yeah, you did. But the difference between me and you is I thought about it for a second. I'd be like, I would do it. You would say, well, I didn't say that. Those words didn't come out. Why are you trying to do that to me?
Exactly. It's because you try and do it every show.
Because I want you to stand firm on the ground that you...
Jeff, it's really nice outside. I don't think it's going to rain today. Yeah, Andy, I agree. So you're saying if the Guardians get rained out, they're going to do a doubleheader when they shouldn't be doing doubleheaders because it strains the pitching staff. Yeah, Andy, that's what I said.
Oh, no. What I would be, I would be more like, so Jeff, you don't want the Guardians to make more money. You want them to do a traditional doubleheader rather than spacing out and doing a day-night doubleheader. That's what I would say because it's always about the dollar when it's all said and done at the end. All right, let's come back. We are going to bring in Jay Billis. Big happening in college athletics over the weekend. He is the man in the know. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I don't want to waste any time because I want to get right to him. Jay Billis from ESPN. Jay, outstanding at his basketball coverage. But, man, when it comes to understanding NIL and what's going on with college sports, he is the guy I think Jeff and I trust more than anybody else.
Yes, indeed.
So, Jay, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you?
Hi, Jay.
Doing great. Thank you, guys.
You know, I saw it last week that, or just a couple days ago, right? Brian Seeley's the new commissioner of the college sports, or the college sports commissioner. And Jeff and I talk about this all the time. We're like, why isn't Jay Billis the guy who should be the guy who's helping college sports go in the next direction? Would you have ever had any thought of maybe doing that, or would that be something that would be thoughtful for you if you wanted to get into that? Because we would vote for you in a minute. I'm just
telling
you.
You're in, Jay.
We would vote for you in a second.
Yeah. You'd probably vote for me to be the captain of the Titanic, too. That's not something I've ever really considered. I've always said in a serious manner, I've always said that, you know, I'm willing to help. So I served on the competition committee for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years, something like that. And I would certainly be willing to help. But until the most recent administration started under Charlie Baker, there wasn't much hope that there was going to be anyone that would listen and or take advice to do the right thing. I mean, there's a lot to complain about in college sports, that things aren't perfect. I think things have improved over the last few years, but they're certainly not perfect. But the things that I think people reasonably complain about are the result of 100 years of, ostrich type leadership, where they just buried their heads in the sand and collected money and said, none of this is ever going to be an issue for us. We're bulletproof and we can continue to violate federal antitrust law with no consequences. And it certainly caught up to them in a hurry with all of these court cases and losses, including a 9-0 loss in the U.S. Supreme Court that opened the door for the House case, which has just been approved by the Ninth Circuit by Judge Claudia Wilken. And now we're going to have athletes paid directly by their universities in a rev share model. And they're going to be able to, schools are going to be able to, not to jump ahead, but schools are going to be able to sign players to contracts. And contracts will have buyouts in them. And I think this has a chance, at least in the short run, to provide a little bit more stabilization in what, you know, coaches love to call the wild, wild west, which is the wild, wild west that the rest of us live in.
Jay, this, the settlement on Friday, this money, $20 million plus assumed right now, is in addition to everything with NIL, correct? So NIL is still going on, and yet other guys are going to get additional money in a contract with the university? Is that the way this is going to work, or do I have it wrong?
A little bit. So what I would do is back up just a hair. So the House case was an antitrust case, and it went directly to athlete compensation. The fact that the NCAA has been illegally restricting athletes by colluding together to say, you can use this, you get a scholarship, which they haven't done with any other person. It's not like they got together and said, we're restricting coaches' salaries or we're restricting salaries of staff members. Nothing like that. The only person or group that is restricted in the college sports multi-billion dollar entertainment industry has been the athlete. So when this lawsuit was brought, it was brought for back damages for, it's a class action. So there are athletes who have exhausted their eligibility, I think from 2016 to 2024. I think that's the time frame. They're going to get $2.8 billion in back damages. So the NCAA is paying them for having illegally restricted their earning power over that time period. Then there's an agreement to share revenue in the future with current athletes. And that agreement, that revenue share is going to be, there's going to be a cap in it, which it's been blessed by the court, even though It's also a violation of federal antitrust law, but the parties have agreed to it. I think it's gonna hold up for a period of years, which gives the NCAA the opportunity to adjust. You know, they can come up with a collective bargaining agreement. They can get Congress to make this settlement law. That could happen. But really, what the revenue share is, each school can share 22% of their television revenue, their ticket revenue, sponsorship revenue, which is an average of what the autonomy conferences make. And that comes out to right now about $20.5 million. So everybody's going to have that available to share with all their athletes how they choose, starting July 1, I believe it is. And in every year, there'll be a 4% escalator of that number. And then 3 years out, then they reassess based on new contracts and things like that, because the revenues are going to continue to go up. As they always have, so they'll recalculate the numbers, and you know, in 5-10 years, we see that number up to $30 million per school, and with the expenses that athletes are allocated with their scholarship, food, some of these other things, and the revenue sharing money, it should get athletes into the range of 50% of revenues that. That are taken in by these schools in this multi-billion-dollar industry.
Hmm. So, Jay, I'm just listening to everything that's kind of here. Does this slow the flow of transfer portal? And does this make? I keep thinking about the NFL. If you're going to be like a four or five or six round pick, does it make you want to stay another year in college because you know you're going to be able to make the money and you don't necessarily know what's going to be there for you in the NFL?
Yeah, football players generally stay longer because they're not able to be drafted until after their junior year,
right?
Or third year out of high school, whatever that is. And that's a rule that's been in place in the collective bargaining agreement for forever. You know, people don't really understand this, but college football is older and was more established than the NFL. College football has been in place for 150 years. The NFL is just over 100. Mm-hmm. And when college football, this is where this restriction on athletes on football players going into the NFL draft came up. When the NFL was just getting started, the NCAA put in a rule that said anyone that works in a professional capacity, whether coaching, being an official, staff member, whatever, you're no longer eligible to work in the NCAA again. And the NFL basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but Reader's Digest, but they basically came to the NCAA on bended knee and said, please don't do this. If you do this, you'll kill us. We'll never get off the ground. So we won't touch your players until they graduate. And that's where they came up with the rule. And then it was codified through collective bargaining. It went from being graduating to being a junior because of the USFL. The USFL started drafting juniors. They didn't have any of those rules. Hmm. So they started drafting juniors and sophomores, including guys like Herschel Walker and stuff like that. And the NFL had to pivot or they were going to lose a lot of their talent. So they started drafting juniors then, and that's where the rule came from.
Jay, and it's not mandatory, correct, that a school has to pay the 20 plus,
right. And then they don't have to pay a nickel. They don't have to pay a nickel if they don't want to.
By the same token,
they don't have to pay their coaches anything. They can have an all volunteer coaching staff, but see how that works out for you. If that's what you want to do, you're not going to have very good coaches.
Could this
and
lead
so if they
Jay
decide
though
not to pay? They're not going to win.
Could this lead to an even bigger split, say in Division I? You know, we're here in the heart of Mid-American Conference land. I don't know that MAC schools are going to come up with $20 million to pay players. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. Could this be top tier?
They'll come up with as much as they can because what'll happen, look, the same amount of talent, the same level of talent is going to fall to these conferences that has always fallen to those conferences. In fact, smaller conferences have access to better talent when they're able to pay them than they could have had access to before. I don't like it before NIL, the top 100 players in football and basketball went to all the same schools. Their dad was the head coach at a mid-major. Those numbers aren't really going to change all that much now. But now you have now a mid-major school has access to better players. Like the, and I use the example just because it seems to resonate with people. Wichita State and Kansas in basketball. Wichita State has no shot of any player that Kansas recruits pre-NIL. Now they can afford to pay Kansas's fourth best recruit at Wichita State as their best recruit and have a shot at that player. That's possible now. It was not possible before. You were going to go to the higher resource school that was on television more and all that stuff. Now you have an opportunity to look at a wider landscape. So they're still the mid-majors still aren't going to be plucking off top 100 players. But, boy, they have access to way better players than they ever did before. And that has a chance to make them more competitive. And I think I didn't gloss this over or pass it over, but you asked about the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
So with schools able to pay players directly and now they can sign them to contracts, that should stabilize the transfer market. There'll be roster limits now. So you can't stockpile players beyond a 12 or 13-man roster in basketball and 85-man roster in football. So there aren't going to be as many places to transfer. But when you sign a player to a contract in an arm's-length negotiation, you're also going to negotiate a buyout. If you have a buyout that's big enough, nobody's going to pay it.
Mm.
And the player's not going to want to pay it. And if a school pays it for the player, that's going to count against their cap. So it's going to put real world financial consequences into the buyout provisions. And that's going to stabilize things without having to limit player movement. It's going to be their decision whether they sign these long-term contracts. And if they want to go year to year with a team, they can do that. But everybody knows it on the front end. One of the things that the transfer portal came in, not just because the NCAA was weak-minded and stupid, although you could make that argument credibly. The reason it came in was because the one-year provision where you had to sit out if you transferred, they called it a year in residence, which was laughable in the first place because freshmen don't need a year in residence, but somebody with college experience needs a year to get used to their new school. That made no sense. True. But it only applied to five sports: football, men's and women's basketball, baseball, and hockey. Everybody else could transfer whenever they wanted to without penalty. And the NCAA knew, boy, we can't sustain this. It's making us look bad in court when we're fighting over compensation. It's an illegal restriction and we got to get rid of it. And they did. And that's what led to all this movement. And they're not going to get rid of the portal. The portal is going to stay. But if players sign contracts, like we talked about before, that have buyouts in them, those are voluntary and they're legally binding. And then if somebody else tampers with that player, now you have an action against that school.
Hmm.
There's no such thing as tampering with an unpaid student. That doesn't exist. And so the idea that coaches say, well, my player got tampered with, that doesn't make any sense. Tampered with what? There's no contract in place. And it's just what it shows, though, is that the coaching profession has some ethical concerns. And because you could argue that they're not behaving ethically because they're doing whatever it takes to get the best players and sometimes crossing what some would consider ethical lines. Should they do this or should they not?
Jay, do you think NCAA athletes are going to get another year here? I know, but there's a lot of talk about that. Or could it be endless as long as you're enrolled at the school? Could that possibly be in the horizon?
Yeah, that's where the NCAA is in a little bit of a bind. It's kind of hard to say, all right, you've got 4 years and then a fifth year if you get hurt or something, or take a redshirt year or something like that, when it affects their earning power. And that's something that the NCAA has not really been on top of. I happen to believe that it's within the bounds of reason that you can say this is the number of years in college. But you'd have to put in a rule that this endeavor is for undergraduates only.
Mm.
And what happens then if you decide to slow play your undergraduate education, it takes you 6 years to graduate.
Yep.
I don't think this is that big of a deal. You know, how many players are sticking around for 6, 7, 8 years? Like, human beings like to move on. And so I don't think that's a huge problem. It does happen in certain instances where players have stayed a little bit longer. The COVID year exacerbated that or made it look like it was being exacerbated. Those COVID years are gone. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. But I think on the list of problems the NCAA has, really good athletes that are wanted that stay longer is not on on the short list of things that need to be addressed first. To your earlier question, and it was football related, what we're seeing in basketball, and there's not enough data to make any tremendous conclusions here, but we're seeing better players stay longer in school rather than go to the NBA. And how is that not better for college athletics? You have better players, and then they're pursuing their educations. Isn't that what we say this is about? So how could we argue that that's a bad thing? In my view, that's a good thing.
And then last question for you. Do you think it's harder now for a high school senior to be able to get to the top? I mean, we can't all go from Rolling Hills to Duke, my friend. So what I'm saying is, do you think it's harder for high school kids because of what you said, they're staying longer, and that, and by the way, I think that could be great for Division II, Division III, and NAIA, because now you've got kids that want to stay, or they want to play, they're playing at a lower level, and if they're good, then you know what, maybe the bigger schools will take a look at them.
That's exactly what's going to happen, is you're going to see there are going to be fewer spots at the traditional sort of power conferences that are willing to take freshmen that they have to develop. They'll say, let them develop somewhere else. We'd rather take a transfer for 2 years than have a freshman for 2 years with being able to lose them. Now, the contracts may change that. Mm. You may, if you can get a player that you can sign to a 4-year deal with an option for a fifth, or a 3-year deal option for a fourth with a buyout in it, maybe you say, you know what, we want this kid. That's better for us than to take this transfer that we'll only have for a year or two. You know, when you're bringing in a new player that has to learn your system and blend in, why not take an older player that you can have for a couple of years that has college experience, more mature, et cetera? That's been the calculus in the last few years. That may change going forward with the ability to sign players to contracts. So that's a great question. I don't know the answer as to how that's going to happen. But one of the things about the transfer portal that I think gets overlooked, and I happen to think this is a good thing, but high school players that were undervalued coming out of high school, maybe you thought they were too small, they haven't developed yet. You know, Steph Curry, I didn't understand how good he was or how good he could be. They can go to – Steph Curry can go to Davidson, kill it for a couple years, and then get to where he would have gone – out of high school if he was recruited by the places he wanted to. At least he would have that choice now. And I don't think a player should be limited to where they're evaluated out of high school forever. Because we certainly don't do that with coaches. Nobody's telling the coach at Illinois State, hey, we thought you were a mid-major coach when you started. The fact you've shown that you're better than that, you got to stay there your whole life. That's where you started. That's where you got to stay. Nobody's saying that. And they're breaking their contracts all the time. In fact, other schools are encouraging them to break their contracts when they have an opening. So you want to talk about ethics. We don't show our ethics with regard to coaches. Nobody says tampering. Nobody says they're under contract because they don't want to shut themselves out of getting the coach they want when they want them. You know, when Villanova had an opening, they had no problem tampering with Kevin Willard. You know, because why is that not tampering? You know, you could argue that Maryland had a contract remedy with regard to Kevin Willard, saying you have tortiously interfered with an employee we have under contract. Now, maybe they gave permission, and I don't know about it, but the general operational MO has been, hey, our coach left. Our coach retired or left, or we fired him. Let's go get somebody else's coach and screw them. They can find somebody else. And you have this domino effect that goes on. And then we want to complain that, hey, athletes leave whenever they want. The coaches leave whenever they want to. And now athletes are going to be under contract with buyouts. We'll see if the universities have the will collectively to enforce those contracts, and I think they will. Hmm.
Jay, as always, we appreciate your time, and we're always smarter after we talk to you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We'll Jay, thank you. Jay Billis, ESPN, nice enough to join us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.